Hi, it's Mina Kimes, host of the ESPN Daily podcast. Wake up to the best story you'll hear all day. 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week, where you get an inside look at the most interesting stories at ESPN, as told by the top reporters and insiders on the planet. The breaking news of Sports Center with the deep dive storytelling of 30 for 30. Today's episode is one I thought you'd especially like. Please listen and subscribe to ESPN Daily wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Back in the spring of 2019, I walked into Heritage Hall at USC for the first time. It is a stunning place. It is an impressive place. There's the Rose Bowl trophies, and there are the jerseys of the All-Americans, and then there are the six Heisman trophies.
Ryan McGee is a senior writer at ESPN.
And I immediately walked to the second one in that line, which is the 1968 O.J. Simpson Heisman Trophy. And what you notice immediately is that it looks a little worn and the head is shinier than the others. And it's because no one can resist reaching out and touching it. As a kid of a certain age, I would have been obsessed with it anyway because I had his poster on my wall. But then, as an American of a certain age, I'm obsessed with it for all the wrong reasons as well. What I found in the months since then is that the history behind that trophy and another O.J. Simpson Heisman trophy is darker and weirder than you could possibly imagine.
At the dawn of O.J. Simpson's career, he won the Heisman Award, and two of the famous Heisman statues came with it. But during his trial for murder, both statues went missing. Today, a Heisman heist that took years to solve. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Thursday, December 12th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Indeed.
So, Ryan, it's December 1968. O.J. Simpson has just won the Heisman. Who was there and what happened?
So, O.J. Simpson is in New York with his mother, and he accepts his Heisman Trophy.
I'm delighted to present to you this 34th Heisman Trophy, symbolic of your achievement as the outstanding collegiate football player in the country. Congratulations, O.J.
Thank you.
And he's holding this trophy in his hands that immediately becomes the most important possession of O.J. Simpson's life. The Heisman Trophy had been around for several decades at that point, but in 1966, Steve Spurrier won the Heisman at Florida and immediately gave it to the university because he didn't believe it was fair that he and his family would be the only ones to enjoy it. After that, the Downtown Athletic Club and then eventually the Heisman Trust said, all right, we'll do two. We'll give one to the university to display, and we'll give one to the athlete.
So there's two trophies. O.J. gets one in New York. We'll call that O.J.'s Heisman.
Yes.
And then one is delivered to USC. We'll call that one USC's Heisman.
Okay.
What do they do with theirs?
They put theirs on display in Heritage Hall. And Heritage Hall is the headquarters for not just football, but all of USC athletics. They put that on display, and it stayed on display for the next couple of decades.
And what about O.J.'s?
O.J. took his home. And then in 1977, he moved into a home that we all know very well now, which he simply called it Rockingham. It was on Rockingham Avenue in Los Angeles. Beautiful house, enveloped in gardens. And the centerpiece of that house on the inside was the Heisman Trophy and the USC jersey that he wore in his last game with USC. O.J. loved to have the kind of the shock and awe of being able to walk people into his house. Hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you. Would you like to see my Heisman? That's how he started business deals. That's how he made friendships. That's how he impressed women. It was right there in the trophy case, the centerpiece of this amazing house he had in Southern California. So for years, that's just where they were. You had USC's Heisman on campus. You had O.J.'s Heisman at his house. They were only about 15 miles apart. And then on June 12th, 1994, as we know, everything changed.
The body of 34-year-old Nicole Brown Simpson, ex-wife of O.J. Simpson, was found after midnight on the sidewalk outside her West Los Angeles home. Next to it, the body of an unidentified 26-year-old man. Both had apparently been stabbed. Simpson told police he was in Chicago.
So 5 days after the deaths of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman, there is the now infamous Bronco chase.
The car is heading north. The vehicle is registered to Al Cowling, a former teammate, close friend of O.J. Simpson's, who has been a fugitive from justice now almost 12 hours.
There's definitely a crowd growing on every overpass that we see vehicles in.
Well, as everyone remembers, every overpass, I mean, the side of every highway and anywhere that people thought O.J. might go. Just people were just crowded. They were just lined up. And so the LAPD wisely went to Heritage Hall at USC and said, you might want to get this trophy, this Heisman Trophy, and whatever other O.J. Simpson artifacts are here. You need to get these out of this lobby. And so there was one graduate assistant coach who was in the office that night. It was a Friday evening in the middle of the summer. And he grabbed those out of the case and stuck them in a football office. So come Monday, the Bronco chase is over. OJ is now been arrested. And everybody at USC believes, okay, the crowds have died down. We can put these items, the Heisman and the jersey, back in this plexiglass case in the Heritage Hall lobby. So that's where they put it. And 8 days later, early in the morning, a custodian at Heritage Hall came into work. And he noticed that one of the Heisman Trophy cases was empty. OJ's jersey and 1968 Heisman Trophy and the plaque that was there was gone.
Given everything that was happening around OJ at the time, was this a huge story?
No, it was not. It was on campus, but it really wasn't outside of Los Angeles because obviously everyone in the world at this point, just a few miles up the road in downtown, they were so focused on what was happening in every single moment and every single development, right or wrong, in the Simpson murder case that no one noticed. And that was good news for one man in particular.
Who is that?
Louis Eugene Starks Jr.
Who is Louis Eugene Starks Jr.?
Back then, he's a guy in his mid-30s from Los Angeles, South Central. He'd been in and out of jail on various theft charges and drug charges. And just a few miles away, just a few minutes away from the USC campus, he was looking right at the stolen O.J. Simpson USC version of the Heisman. He claims that he was not involved in the actual theft, that it was a friend of his, and he's never given that friend's name up. And the story that he is told is that the friend had on the jersey, the game-worn number 32 jersey from USC, and was walking around the house and entertaining friends and kept the Heisman buried in his backyard. And when he was feeling particularly braggy, he would take his friends, including Louis Starks, to see this Heisman buried in the backyard.
What does he do with the trophy?
Well, eventually, according to Louis, he purchased the Heisman for $600 and an old used car. So now he takes this Heisman trophy and he's thinking, and this is just a few months, according to him, after it was initially stolen, he's thinking he's going to make some money. And this is a very common tale when it comes to people stealing art, to people stealing anything that has this great value, the sentimental value to society. They think they're going to cash in. But unfortunately, there aren't a lot of Bond villains out there. They're just willing to fork over cash to purchase these things. He couldn't find a buyer. And as a result, he just kind of schlepped this thing around for years. It was in closets. It was in apartments of girlfriends. It was his mother's garage. At one point, he had a stretch where he was homeless, and he says that he hauled that 40-pound trophy around and slept with it on the streets. And so Louis Starks Jr. had himself a Heisman Trophy and did not know what to do with it.
As this is all happening after the USC Heisman has been stolen, what's going on with OJ's Heisman? Is it still in his house in Brentwood?
It is.
O.J. Simpson left the courthouse last night, betraying no emotion, branded a killer, despite having been found not guilty of the murders just 16 months ago. For the anguished families of Ronald Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson, this was justice.
So OJ is found not guilty in the criminal trial. But then in March of 1997, he is convicted in the civil suit and there are damages to be paid, $33.5 million worth.
Yeah, and it's so much money. And as a result, I mean, everything that he owns is going to have to be sold. It will be collected by the LAPD. It will be auctioned off. It's up to the plaintiffs, the Goldman family, and Nicole Brown Simpson's family to decide what they're going to do with this collection of a man's life. And the highlight of that, obviously, is his Heisman Trophy. The question immediately becomes not even how much is O.J. Simpson worth, it's how much is that Heisman Trophy worth?
Our family is grateful for a verdict of responsibility, which is all we ever wanted.
We all remember, and to this day, Fred Goldman is always so vocal about the fact that he's always looking over O.J. Simpson's shoulder and he's always going to make his life miserable. In fact, during the trial, Fred Goldman's like, when I get that Heisman, I'm going to smash it with a hammer. I'm going to melt it down. They're talking about I'm going to do it on television. And that Heisman became the physical embodiment of this battle. It wasn't just taking the money. It was also taking O.J. Simpson's pride. And certainly the highlight of that inventory list is the Heisman Trophy. Problem is, no one can find it.
Wait, that one's missing too?
Yeah.
We'll be back in a moment.
So during his depositions in the civil trial, OJ floated this story that one day while he was out playing golf, someone walked into Rockingham and took the Heisman Trophy out of the trophy case. What we know now is that he had handed it over to an attorney friend of his, not one of the attorneys that we know from the Dream Team, not one of his attorneys from the civil trial, just a friend who happened to be an attorney. And it was being held along with some other personal items in a condominium somewhere in Southern California.
Does law enforcement have any idea that this is what's happened?
They do not. They call Nicole Brown Simpson's attorney, John Q. Kelly, and they say, we cannot find this Heisman. So he puts in a call to OJ's attorney and says, let's cut a deal. You know, I can keep this from getting into the hands of the Goldmans and being smashed with a hammer or melted down or whatever Ron Goldman wants to do with it, and we'll make sure it ends up in the hands of OJ's children. That attorney says, let me call OJ. And just a few minutes later, he calls back and he said, OJ has a message. He says, Mr. Kelly has a better chance of winning the Heisman than he does of me giving it to him.
So what happens next?
Mike Gilbert, who coincidentally got his start as a memorabilia expert, he took a job in 1989 as O.J. Simpson's marketing manager, his marketing agent. Gilbert goes to O.J. and says, where is this thing? And O.J. tells him, and Mike Gilbert retrieves it from the attorney friend's house. He has arranged to take it to the attorneys representing the plaintiffs, who are still owed all this money. And at the last second, before he walks it into this office, he removes the nameplate. He pulls the four nails out of it. He takes the nameplate and he sticks it in his pocket. And then he turns the Heisman Trophy over. And he says that was a last act of defiance because second only to OJ, maybe above OJ, of the people who loved this Heisman Trophy more than anyone in the world was Mike Gilbert.
So where does the trophy end up?
The trophy ends up on the auction block.
We're thrilled to offer to bidders and viewers a spectacular entertainment memorabilia sale. The sale is the 1968 Heisman Memorial Trophy Award.
Initially, it does not have the nameplate. Eventually, Gilbert does turn that over, and it goes up for auction in February of 1999, and a man named Tom Kreisman from Philadelphia purchases it for $255,000.
This is kind of a dumb question, but why?
Well... Tom Kreisman is as Philly could possibly be. He's a smartass. He's brash. He's funny. And he, at first, is this anonymous East Coast bidder. And 2 days later, he shows up in Hollywood at the auction house and holds a press conference. And he does the Heisman pose. And he says that he feels like he's won the Heisman. He compares it to the Liberty Bell, of course, because he's from Philadelphia. and he pulls a plaque out of his pocket and places it on the Heisman from a semi-pro league that he played in as a younger man. And his nickname when he played and was the MVP of this team, the Juice.
Jesus.
Right?
I mean, it's like one of those stories where you don't expect the characters to get any more peculiar, and then there you go. So OJ's Heisman goes to a new owner who still has it.
He has it. He said that day that he was going to show it to his friends, and then he was going to lock it up and one day would sell it and hope that he had a big return on investment. And as we speak today, it is still in a bank safe somewhere outside of Philadelphia. And as hard as I tried and as hard as everyone tries, he ain't showing it to anybody.
What is happening with the USC Heisman?
There was hope for a while from USC that they might find the trophy and that they might just, you know, find it in a dumpster on the side of the road. Some good Samaritan just drops it off. That did not happen. There were no breaks in the case. And so USC petitioned the Downtown Athletic Club. They said, we have to have something. And so the folks in New York sent them a replacement trophy. And that's what sat in Heritage Hall for a couple of decades. So Lewis Starks reappears in 2014. He's just come out of prison and he needs money. And he once again tries to shop around this Heisman. At one point over the years, he actually offered up the Heisman to try and have a sentence reduced from a drug charge. The judge did not believe him. Well, everywhere he takes this Heisman or tries to shop this Heisman, no one believes him. I mean, he does have an even longer rap sheet now than he did when we started this story. So what does he do? He thinks, I'll call USC and see if maybe there's like a reward or a finder's fee. So he calls Heritage Hall. We're pretty sure it was a student worker who answered the phone. It was certainly someone very young. And he says, I have your missing 1968 O.J. Simpson Heisman Trophy. And the student worker looks over at the Heisman's on display just a few paces away and sees the trophy, and this kid's probably not even born yet, right? When the Bronco chase takes place, and he goes, no, you're wrong. I'm looking at it right here. Goodbye, and hangs up again. So now Lewis Starks, undeterred, decides he has to get this thing verified. He has to get it authenticated. He calls New York and calls the group that now oversees the Heisman Trophy, the Heisman Trust, and they say, email us some pictures and we'll see. And he does, and they see it and they authenticate it. He says, man, I've got authentication. I'm going to call back to USC and let them know, no, man, I have it. And meanwhile, the Heisman Trust calls USC and says, hey, heads up, a guy's probably calling. He absolutely has your Heisman Trophy.
So what does USC do?
USC calls the Los Angeles Police Department. The Los Angeles Police Department sends them down the hallway to Detective Don Resick. Shortly after the heist of the Heisman in 1994, the LAPD started this art theft detail. Detective Resick is the only member of this department. He's recovered hundreds of millions of dollars of art. Picasso's, Rothko's, a $3.5 million cello, Walt Disney animation cells. This is what he does. So he works with USC and he says, let's talk to Lewis Starks. Maybe he'll think that he's going to receive a reward, and that's not what he received.
What happened?
It was a sting operation. I mean, right there in Heritage Hall. Tim Tesalone, who's been the sports information director at USC forever, he's standing in the lobby of Heritage Hall and waiting on this criminal mastermind to show up with this Heisman Trophy. And meanwhile, the one-man art theft detail, along with some other help from the LAPD, they're waiting in the wings. Taxi pulls up, and this rough-looking guy in his mid-50s with a rap sheet as long as his arm gets out with a duffel bag and introduces himself to the folks at USC, unzips the duffel bag, and lo and behold, Mina Kimes, he has the plaque, the wooden base, and he has a bronze football player with a stiff arm.
And then he gets stiff-armed.
Yes. Right on the spot. And these guys had a warrant in hand. They took him into a conference room right there at Heritage Hall. And they say, to Lewis Stark's credit, he was an open book. And he stuck to his story about how he acquired the Heisman. He would not give up the friend's name that was the supposed thief. This goes on for several hours. With enough information, they think, to build a case, the art theft department and company leave. And there stands Lewis Starks with no reward and no more Heisman Trophy. And he asks the good folks at USC if he could borrow a little cash to get a taxi ride home.
After spending decades with this trophy that he could not unload, was
slept with it.
Do you think he was sad to part ways with it?
I believe he was relieved. You know, it's funny because communicating with Tom Chrisman, who has OJ's Heisman, and then communicating with Starks and the people that were involved in his arrest, everyone who's ever had this thing kind of feels relieved to not have it anymore. I'm not saying they're cursed, but I'm just saying that I don't believe I want to have one of O.J. Simpson's Heismans, and neither should you.
It's almost like they never should have acquired them in the first place.
Yeah, it's weird, right? it really is. I compared it to Lord of the Rings, right? You know, everyone wants the precious, but then once they get it, it drives them crazy and it almost kills them, and then they're just trying to throw it into the lava and melt it.
After everything you've learned about these trophies and the difficult journeys they've taken, would you recommend buying them to anyone, Ryan?
No. And someone will, and someone with a lot more disposable income than Ryan McGee or Mina Kimes. My friendly advice would be, after spending months researching this, I think there are better ways to spend $500,000 plus. If you do buy it, just drop it on your head, because it just seems like a gigantic headache for however long you're going to own it.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, Mina Kimes.
Coming up, the journeyman quarterback who's giving new meaning to the term player coach. Here's another story I want you to know. On Monday night, when Eagles wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey exited the game with an injury, the team was down to just two wide receivers. The next in line, we later learned, was 40-year-old backup quarterback Josh McCown. And while Josh didn't end up playing, he told reporters after the game that he was ready to go, even though it had been 13 years since he last caught a pass. Two passes, actually, from then Lions quarterback John Kitna.
Yeah, I was ready to go. We had the helmet ready to go. Equipment guys were all over. I had the radio-less helmet, so that because you can't have two green dots on the field at the same time. So we were ready to roll. And I would get in there and go. You know, that's obviously, as a quarterback, you know the offense.
Now, I adore this story not just because I'm a fan of any NFL player older than me at this point, but because McCown isn't just a backup quarterback and a backup wide receiver. He's also the quarterback's coach of a high school football team. Let me explain. This summer, after 17 years in the NFL, McCown announced that he was retiring, and he'd be doing some analyst work at ESPN while also coaching his sons at Myers Park High in Charlotte, North Carolina. Then, when the Eagles' backup quarterbacks went down with injuries in the preseason, they came calling, and McCown pulled a Jay-Z and unretired, with one caveat. The Eagles had to agree to let him continue coaching his kids, both of whom play quarterback. According to a story by ESPN's Tim McManus, Josh has been flying home twice a week, on Mondays to help install his high school team's game plan. Then on Fridays, as soon as Eagles practice wraps, he would jump on a jet and return to Charlotte in time for every Myers Park game. My favorite detail in Tim's piece is about how the kids on the team were a little starstruck at first by their famous coach. One of them mentioned that when he was growing up, he used to play McCown in Madden. Now, McCown is on his own sideline, coaching the quarterbacks, and maybe helping with the wide receivers too. Oh no, by the way, his Myers Park High School Mustangs made the playoffs this year. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.